Well, they're taking turns on Capitol Hill lately. First, the House was in session while the Senate was out. And this week, the Senate returns and takes up at least one important measure from the House as lawmakers there take some time off. Never taking time off, apparently, is Bloomberg Government Executive Editor Lauren Duggan, back with us for a look at the week ahead. And I guess the big measure that we're talking about here is the disaster relief that was just passed in the House for the hurricanes and the wildfires.
That's right. The House sent over a $36.5 billion package. This has important money for FEMA. It would cancel some of the debt of the National Flood Insurance Program and spend some money on wildfires. It's about a $570 million package there for the wildfires. This package reflects the request that came up from the White House. There's a bit more money there for FEMA than they originally asked for, but there's less for wildfires than we assume they're going to need given what's happened in California. So this request doesn't really bear in mind everything that's happened in California because that's still being digested and those needs are still being figured out. One of the key things here is that Puerto Rico would get a $4.9 billion loan that it very much needs. It's a low-interest loan meant to help the government there stay on its feet. There's a key deadline coming up there where if they didn't get some assistance, it could have been hard for the government to balance it or at least pay its bills. So that provision is probably going to drive this to being a pretty quick debate, I would think, in the Senate when they do take up this measure.
Now, I talked to one of your colleagues, Michael Smallberg, before the House debated this and passed this measure. He said there was some controversy about canceling some debt in the National Flood Insurance Program. Is that something that could hang up this bill now that it's headed over to the Senate?
The vote was fairly lopsided. I don't have the exact figures, but it was about 350 to about 69, yeah, something like that. So, yes, there was this group of conservative Republicans. Many of them were driven by the fact that while it canceled about $16 billion in debt for the National Flood Insurance Program, it didn't include a package of changes, including things that the White House had sent up when it asked for this cancellation. The Flood Insurance Program is up for reauthorization anyhow. They got a temporary extension as part of the budget deal that Democrats reached with the president in September. So they have to get back to this Flood Insurance Program. I think they'll be talking more about some reforms or some changes to be part of a later debate, whether that's the spending bill or an actual standalone bill. So there's still more to happen on that. I don't think that's going to hang up the rest of the disaster aid, given the needs in Puerto Rico and Texas and Florida. Again, that's a pretty lopsided vote in the House. I think you could see something like that in the Senate. Will people lament the lack of these changes to the NFIP? Probably, but I don't know if it's enough to keep the bill from moving forward.
Now, of course, President Trump has been fairly critical, I guess you could say, about Puerto Rico and its debt problems before the hurricane and warning on Twitter that federal aid can't last forever. Could that color the debate in the Senate?
It may. I think he said on Friday in a tweet that he would stay with them. You know, so I think there's been some different messages sent about Puerto Rico. It seems to me that what General Kelly, now Chief of Staff Kelly, said on Thursday at the press conference that they will continue to support Puerto Rico, that will continue to happen. This is not the last aid package we're going to see for any of these storms. We would expect another tranche of requests to come up from the White House for that to be weighed by Congress. There's provisions here that citrus growers want to see advanced to help the growers in Florida whose orange crops were pretty devastated by the storms and other things. And there should be more tax relief probably debated as the year goes on, as well as the larger tax debate, but kind of specific provisions to help people in these states. We already saw one package go. So there's more to come on the disaster aid. There's more debate about things longer term to do to get the flood insurance program on its feet, to get Puerto Rico back on its feet, and then what do you do longer term about its debt? There was already a pretty lengthy debate in the last Congress setting up this financial control board to try and help Puerto Rico manage things. Its problems are so much deeper now with so much of the island without power and with the infrastructure so wounded by the storm that it's an even different, worse situation than it was when they were just facing the financial problem. So there's a lot left to talk about here. Mm-hmm. And these storms are well over in terms of their direct rain, wind, and that sort of thing. But we're going to be talking about this for the rest of this year and next year, too, I have a feeling.
And certainly this is going to be getting a lot of attention in the early part of the week in the Senate. Now, I guess the broader theme this week in the Senate is probably going to be the budget, right?
It is. The budget resolution debate is going to pick up next week in the Senate, as we understand it. The House has adopted a budget resolution. The Senate needs to take up its. These are internal documents that are supposed to guide inside the budget deliberations of Congress. Normally, these are dealt with in the spring, March and April. This year, we're doing it in September and October. The real driver of this process right now is tax reform. These resolutions would set up a process that would allow the Ways and Means Committee and the Senate Finance Committee to propose tax legislation that would be subject to a simple majority rather than that 60-vote threshold in the Senate. So this debate is an important first step to get to that tax overhaul debate. Now, this debate is probably going to go on the rest of the year. Even if you get over this internal budget resolution step, the House and the Senate have to agree on the same language for those reconciliation instructions to hold. And we know there's an ambitious timetable, with Paul Ryan saying at an event that they would stay through Christmas if they needed to, to get this tax overhaul debate done. So, you know, that's an interesting threat this early in the year. We always hear that, oh, we'll stay until we're done with work. But to hear in October that Christmas is perhaps in doubt is quite an interesting statement to make this early.
Yeah, particularly when you have the House out of session this week.
Right. Well, I mean, they do want to get home, right? I mean, as much as they take some flack for going away from Washington, this does give them the chance to go back, hear from their constituents. They may get an earful about some of these tax provisions. We know that the local interest around the state and local tax deduction has driven a lot of the discussion on Capitol Hill recently, with members in states affected by that wanting to push against this notion that you would repeal that deduction. So they're going to go home, they're going to get an earful, probably about all these different issues and other ones as well, and then they'll come back raring to go, I think, between now and Thanksgiving.
Are you expecting any definitive answers on some of these key provisions in the tax reform, like the SALT deduction this week?
I'm not sure if we'll get that this week. I think there will be progress made. The senators can go up to the White House and talk to the president. With the House out, it's harder for them to come to some sort of bicameral agreement. But they don't have to put that down on paper quite yet. There's still time. Just getting these reconciliation instructions nailed down, figure out how much this package could add to the deficit, what the kind of parameters of the debate will be. That'll be the focus of this budget resolution process. And then at some point, the committees that write these bills are going to have to sit down and come up with that and take a definitive stab at that issue.
And something we'll be watching, as you say, for probably the rest of the year, maybe even a bit longer than that.
Absolutely.
Now, key hearing coming up this week, Attorney General Jeff Sessions appears back before the Senate Judiciary Committee.
That's right. I think he's got a lot of subjects coming up before him. The top thing is, as always, going to be the Russia investigation and what he knows there. I think he'll get pressed about Jim Comey and aspects of the firing of the former FBI director. And there was a letter sent up by some of the Democrats on the committee asking him to be truthful and open and honest when he came there. They want to really press him on these matters. So I think that'll be a big part of that.
Now, lately, the Attorney General has been putting a lot of focus on crime fighting and on immigration, so-called sanctuary cities. Is that expected to come up in this particular hearing?
I would expect anything and everything could come up, especially with the lingering debate over what to do with the people who are allowed to stay and work here under the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program that has been canceled by the administration. They're looking for some sort of solution legislatively. The president called on Congress to do that. I would expect there to be some sort of exchange around that. Jeff Sessions has been an immigration hardliner for a long time, including when he was in the Senate. So he's got a lot of ideas. I would expect him to get questions about that. And also the reversal of policies around transgender individuals. I could see that coming up in this forum as well. So he will be in front of a group of senators. There will probably be a robust discussion. Might be interesting thing to watch this week.
What else will you be watching for that's interesting this week?
Well, there's not a lot happening with only one chamber in, but we are looking to see more of a discussion around judges, because Mitch McConnell, the majority leader, really wants to push forward on confirming some of these judicial nominees that the president has set up. And he's even said that he might step back from some of the senatorial courtesies and niceties that have existed around blue slips, where a home state senator can kind of hold up consideration of a nominee from their state if they aren't backing them. McConnell has said he might not necessarily watch and adhere to that as much, and that's caused a little bit of a wrinkle. But for Republicans and conservatives who have control of the House, or I'm sorry, of the Senate and the White House, who want to get their people on the bench, this is going to be a big focus in between all these legislative debates. I think we're going to see more action in the next couple of weeks and months on getting more of these judicial nominees confirmed. And Democrats may dig in their heels and try to slow things down, but they It only takes 50 votes to cut off debate on these, and they don't have a lot of power to stop them. But I think that's going to be a theme we'll be touching on.
And now we know someone else who will be coming back to the Senate next week and for weeks to come. Maine's Republican Susan Collins. She'd been flirting with the idea of running for governor. Are you surprised?
Yes and no. I mean, the governorship is something she tried for in the past and did not win. She seemed to be weighing this for a while, went to a local Chamber of Commerce event in Maine and announced that she would stay in the Senate. She's been a key moderate voice in the Senate and has voted against some of President Trump's top agenda items. That could be Betsy DeVos's education secretary. It could be some of the health care proposals. So she will continue to be a moderating force within the Republican conference. Now, when it's this closely divided, 52 R's to 48 Democrats, if you count those two independents that caucus with them, that gives her a lot of power. She has a lot of sway. And, you know, if they can't count on her vote, that only gives them a 51 vote majority on some of these things. And as we saw with health care, it doesn't take a lot to really erode support there. So she'll be there as a moderate voice. Her term in the Senate is up in 2020. I'm not sure if we know yet if she's running again for that seat, but she will be around. She will be a voice for moderation, and we'll be chasing her down in the hallway still for a while yet to come. So,
yeah. All right. Thanks for all this, Lauren, as
Thank
always.
You.
Lauren Duggan is executive editor of Bloomberg Government. Find his work on The Terminal and at bgov.com. From the Bloomberg 99.1 Newsroom in Washington, I'm Nathan Hager.